Good morning, church. It's a privilege to be here to share with you God's word. The theme for this month is to share the gospel. And the topic for today is Behold Your God. Indeed, we're thankful to God for the salvations and also the seeds that have been sown for His glory in 2017. The mission of BBTC is to share Christ as we mature in Him. But in order to do so, we need to first intentionally get to know Christ. But how are we going to do that? Allow me to just begin by asking you this question. What is the first word that comes to your mind when you look at the following pictures? So are you ready? Let's take a look. The first word that comes to your mind. Holiday. How many have the word holiday? Okay, not too bad. Expensive. Anyone? Wow, you're very rich, no? Okay, the second picture is... Whoa. Wow. Lunch. How many of you have the word lunch? Alright. Wow, you eat so much. Hungry. Hey, never eat breakfast. Okay. The third one. Whoa. Sleepy. Oh, sleep. Okay, please don't sleep now. Alright. Okay. Last one. Jesus. How many have this word Jesus? Alright, that's the modern answer. Great. You see, the Bible tells us that what we keep thinking about, we become. And what goes into our minds comes from what we behold. In other words, whatever that we fix our eyes on, that is what we are thinking about. To become like Jesus, we must take time to fix our eyes on Jesus. And that's what we're going to do for the last Sunday of 2017. Behold your God. Behold your God. Let's end 2017 and start 2018 by coming back to Jesus and fill our minds with Jesus so that that will lead us towards Christ-likeness. But before that, let's talk to Jesus and ask Him to speak to us this morning. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, thank You so much for loving us. Indeed, You are the reason why we celebrate Christmas. You are the one whom we wanted to be, we want to be and share with others. Yet, we need to first get to know You more. So now, teach us from Your holy scriptures about You. Quieten our hearts. Open our eyes to behold wonderful truths out of Your law. Now, as Your servant, dearly loved by You, speak for Your word. May the words that come out from my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in Your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A boy was trying to show his father how skillful he was as he had just finished some cycling lesson. As the father sat there, the boy cycled one round very quickly and said, "See that?" The second round, he did it again, without hands, and shouted, "See that? No hands." The third round, he tried to balance himself and shouted again, "Dad, see? No legs." The dad got a bit worried. The last round, "See that? No eyes." Bang. The boy fell with a loud bang, and the dad ran to the son and said, "Son, see? No teeth." Sometimes in our journey with our Father God, we want to show God what we can do for Him. Yet, more often than not, God wants us to behold who He is and what He has done for us and what He will do for us. From the beginning to the end, from creation to crucifixion, to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Scriptures cries out, "Behold your God. Behold your God." Exactly what does God want us to see or behold? That brings us to the text for this morning, taken from Isaiah chapter 40. As we meditate on this text, my prayer is that we will fall in love with Jesus again before we enter 2018. But first, let's take a look at this fascinating book. Isaiah. Some scholar calls this book the mini Bible with 66 chapters. Just like the Bible has 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament and 27 in the New Testament. In Isaiah, the first 39 chapters focus on sins and judgment. Yet the last 27 chapters focus on grace and the salvation of God. Although such divisions may not be Spirit-inspired, still it helps us to better remember the breakdown of the book Isaiah. Up to chapter 39, Isaiah prophesied that Jerusalem would be captured, God's people would be judged for their sin. In fact, 100 years later, in 586 BC, Babylon conquered Jerusalem. It was a message of despair. In Isaiah chapter 40, the prophet then presented to the people of God a message of hope and assurance of God's pardon, presence, and also provision of a deliverer who is to come. Yet most important of all, the text that we're going to study tells us how we are to respond to this wonderful message. With that, can I get you to read the first part of the text, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1 to 9, at the count of 3. 1, 2, 3. Behold your God. Behold your God. The Lord bless the reading of His word. Isaiah chapter 40 begins with comfort. Comfort. We call that double imperative, which means to be comforted greatly. Despite the judgment, the good news was on the way. History tells us about 150 years later, God sent King Cyrus to deliver the people of God from exile. Yet the text then point to us also to our Lord Jesus Christ, who will one day deliver the world from sin when He died on the cross for us. That is the reason why God's people can find comfort. Verse 2 then give us the verdict, because our sins are pardoned or paid off. The phrase that they have received double for their sins does not mean that God punished them twice. In fact, some interpret this that they are punished in full or more than enough. However, I humbly beg to differ, because an ancient Eastern culture gives us a more likely interpretation. You see, in the ancient world, if a man owed a debt that he could not pay, his creditor would write his debt on a paper and nail it on the front door of the man's house so that everyone could see. Sound like today's loan shark. But if someone helped him to pay the debt, then the creditor would then nail another piece of paper over the earlier one to indicate that the debt had already been paid fully. It gives us a comforting picture of a slave who had to work 7 years to pay his debt. The people of God, 70 years to pay for their sins. And Jesus today has paid the penalty of our sin when He died on the cross for us. What a picture of comfort. With a tender heart, God proclaimed this good news of love and comfort to His people. In fact, verse 3 and 4 tells us that there was a man, John the Baptist, who will come in the wilderness to prepare the way for the King of Kings. What does that mean to us? Every valley shall be lifted up.
In other words, when we are discouraged or doubt, God will encourage us and lift us up so that we can continue to share the good news. Every mountain and hill be made low. When pride slip in, we will be humbled to continue to do the work. The phrase, uneven ground leveled and rough places a plain. When things get tough, God will help us by straightening it so that we can lift up our voice with the strength that God gives to us to share the gospel by telling the world, behold our God. Now, exactly how can we do that effectively? I found three keys from the text. With that, let me share with you the first one. To behold our God, we must learn to study the Word. Often our words reveals who we are. A father said to his son, John, stop it. If you continue to be so naughty, one day you will have children as naughty as you. John then replied, Dad, now I know why I'm so naughty. Words reveal. What's more? The Word of God. Verse 6 to 8 illustrate man as grass and flowers that wither and fade away quickly. Then compare man with the Word of God that stands forever. When the enemies were gone, God is here to stay. When the Assyrians were gone, God is here to stay. When the Babylons were gone, God is here to stay. The everlasting God that we sang about is still here to stay. And this God of ours has chosen to reveal Himself to us, finite beings, through His eternal Word. Verse 1, 3, 9 tells us that there were a few voices giving us God's Word. First one, God say, comfort, comfort my people. A voice cries out, prepare the way of the Lord. Lift up your voice and behold your God. Some might not have the same view in regards to whose voices were this. But what is most important of all is that God has chosen to reveal His Word to us from His Holy Word, so that all men might see His glory, our Lord Jesus Christ. So to share Christ effectively, we must first get into the Word of God, study it to know Christ. With that, can I ask you to read the next text, and then we do this together. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 10 to 14, at the count of 3. 1, 2, 3. Just from 7 verses, there are 3 truths that we can learn about God. Verse 10 tells us that our God is a gracious God. Behold, the Lord comes with might. His arm rules for Him. Behold, His rewards is with Him. Remember, the first part of Isaiah is about God's judgment. Yet God graciously pardoned His people and promised that He will come with rewards. What a gracious God we have. Second, God is gentle. Verse 11 tells us that God tends and gathers and also carries and leads His people gently with His mighty hands. The same arm that rules the world with power and might are the same arms that God used to guide His people through life. As the good shepherd, John chapter 10, the chief shepherd, 1 Peter 5, and our great shepherd, Hebrews chapter 13. Isaiah then continue to ask us several rhetorical questions. Who, whom, who, and who? The answer is no one except our great God. Our God is great. Church, the problem today for some of us could be that we have too small a view of God. That's why our problems look so big. The reason could be because we do not take enough time to study the Word of God to know how great is our God. How God is great. A.W. Tozer put it this way: what comes into our minds that think when we think about God is the most important thing about us. You see, we can say that God is good all the time. He's gracious, He's gentle, He's great. But we do not really believe it because our minds have not been saturated with the Word of God. Our minds have not been tilted aright. And this will be reflected in how we live our lives. So study the Word of God, get to know God, and His heart and life will not be the same. I remember last year, senior pastor emailed me to speak for this year Good Friday drama, Danny. He told me to speak to Pastor Darren, who is in charge of this production, so we met. On that particular Sunday, Pastor Darren and myself sat at the bench near the church kitchen. Darren shared with me the story of Danny. I must confess that as he was sharing, I sensed that this was not for me to serve as the evangelist. For he was talking to me about robots. Because I just could not figure out how to share the gospel using robots from the Bible. In fact, I lost him. And was already thinking how I should tell him that we should find somebody else to do it. It was then I looked down at the bench and I saw the bulletin with this memory verse on it, which I took from the first service, and these were the words. Allow me to read from my translation. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. It was a verse that I studied years ago about God's heart for the lost. And the Lord gently impressed upon my heart, saying, "Son, what are you going to do with my desire for the lost?" Again, Pastor Darren was still talking, but I was already feeling very, very burdened. It was then I told the Lord in my heart, "Anything, Lord, anything." Then the Lord reminded me of a prayer I prayed. For Christmas or Good Friday, I was trying to do 3 things for Him. Why 3? Because I was thinking of inviting at least 3 friends of mine or colleagues to church for 3 services. It was then Pastor Darren finally finished his story. And then he said, there will be 3 shows for this drama. By then, there were only 3 words that totally captured my mind. And the 3 words are, "None shall perish. None shall perish." Because I found these 3 words in the hearts of my Father. Shortly after that, I shared with Winnie. We prayed and I texted Pastor Darren that I would do it. Along the way, it was not easy. There were times I sat at the back of the hall and I saw the hard work that my brother and sisters put into the drama. Sometimes I ask God, you know, did I hear wrongly? Am I supposed to do this? But the Lord guide me through His Word. I still remember Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, that says, "It is not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God that God will use all of us as a church to share Christ through Danny for 2017. I just need to fix my eyes on Jesus and trust Him to give Him my 5 loaves and 2 fishes." And I'm sure God has spoken to many of you as well. By the grace of God, almost 200 adults responded to the altar call through Danny. All glory goes to our God. So, what about you, my brothers and sisters? What kind of God do you have? Search your heart. Do you take time to study the Word of God to get to know Him better? What kind of God do you have? Do you know that our gracious God is coming back with rewards for us? Do you know that our gentle God wants to lead us and guide us in our life, even for 2018? Do you know that our great God holds our worlds on the palm of His hand? Do you know that the Word of God reveals God to us? So don't miss this. Study the Word of God and behold
your God is precious. I remember I was talking to these three children once. I gave them some candies because they were Christian. And then I told them this: do you know there is something that is sweeter than the candies on your hands? And they look at me, wow. I told them, it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. The Word of God is sweeter than honey from the comb. So for 2018, allow me to suggest to you three ways that you may want to consider. First, read the Bible at least once through in 2018. Just three chapters a day. There are apps in your phone that can help you to do so. Do it. Or perhaps if you miss a few days for whatever reason, it's okay, just catch up after that. Secondly, take time to memorize scriptures. Begin with Psalms 1, Psalms 23, and Psalms 150. And then you can tell people you have finished Psalms 1 to 150. Do it as a cell group. It can be quite fun and often life-transforming. Thirdly, choose a book in the Bible to study. Oh, now, which one should you start with? Why don't you ask God? And don't be surprised that the Lord will reveal that to you. For those who have already been doing so, then go deeper into the Word of God. Saturate yourself, your mind with the Word of God in 2018. And don't miss this, church. There is only one book that the Almighty God has given to us to master it, so that it will master our life. The Holy Bible. Don't miss this. Study the Word. And when you do it, ask yourself this simple question. What does this passage tell you about Jesus? He is good. He's kind. He's gracious. He's holy. And then you behold your God. And as you do so daily, by the end of 2018, you will become more like Him. Is that all? As the Lord tutors our mind with the Word of God, God also wants to work in our hearts. That brings me to the second point for the day. To behold our God, we also need to surrender our idols to Him. You see, if we continue to fix our eyes on idols, we will lose sight of our God. Our actions reveal the idols in our hearts. A man met a woman at a party. He was stunned by her beauty. He thought to himself, he had to find a way to connect with this wonderful lady. So he introduced himself and told her this: my father is a wealthy man, but he's not doing too good. He only has 2 years left to live. And when he dies, I will inherit $100 million and many properties. The woman was impressed and asked for his business card. After that, shortly, he received a note from her that the woman has just become the father's girlfriend. Something is wrong with their hearts. If we search deep enough our soul, don't be surprised, we will find similar idols in our hearts. For the man, his idol was beauty. For the woman, was money. Yet, for both of them, something is really wrong inside. Isaiah then tells us more about this. So can I get you to read Isaiah chapter 40, 18 to 20 at a count of 3, 1, 2, 3. Isaiah did another comparison for us. God and idols. God and idols. Of course, the idols cannot move by itself. They cannot create anything and need to be created. It doesn't matter what material you use, gold, silver for the rich, fine wood for the poor. You can find the best craftsman or even goldsmith to make the idol. The result will still be the same. Idols cannot even move by themselves. But God is always on the move.
He is alive, yet the devil wants to use dead idols to blind us from our living God. Don't be deceived, church. In fact, the first two commandments in the Bible talks about idolatry. You shall not have any other God than Yahweh. You shall not make for yourselves any idol. Because when idols slip into our hearts quietly, we no longer love God, no matter how big our God is. You see, for the Israelites, when they first left Egypt, they saw how the Egyptians worship all kinds of God. That's why God had to tell them, no, there is only one God, one true God you are to worship. From Ra, the sun god, Seth, the god of storm, Isis, god of medicine, and even they have gods for frogs and flies that they worship if they get dengue fever. And it did not end there. During the time of Isaiah, they worshipped Baal. How about today? Oh, we don't have all this. But yet, there are still idols in our hearts, even for Christians. And some of these idols may not necessarily be evil in the sight of men. Some are precious. So allow me to suggest to you some lovingly. They can be our loved ones, our children, our work, our possessions, or even ourselves. The truth is, idols blind us from seeing God and Him at work. Look at the next few verses. To whom then will you compare me, my children, that I shall be like Him? Say the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who created all this. Not the idols in your hearts, but God is the one who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of His might, that He is strong in power, not one is missing. Our God is such a great God. So why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? When things fall apart, we started to question God and even come to such conclusion that our ways are hidden from God. God doesn't know. Our ways are disregarded by God. God doesn't care. And worse, God is not so great after all. Where is this gracious, gentle, and great God we study from the Bible? Not realizing that the problem is not with the scriptures, but our hearts that are so occupied with idols. The unbelief in our hearts then inform our minds with wrong conclusions about God. Therefore, in order to behold our God, we must first surrender our idols to Him. Now, surrender does not mean give it up. Pastor En Chan from Covenant One shared that surrender is not to give it up, but to give in to God. In other words, trust God who knows the best and wants the best for us. So when God says, give it to me, son, give it to me, my daughter, then let's surrender. As I was preparing this message, I asked myself this question. How do I know what are the idols in my life? I realized that this question is answered by another question. What is it that I'm afraid to let go when God asks me to do so? That becomes my idol. You see, for me, it's a dream. Something I always wanted to do. As a young man, I wanted to serve the Lord as a teacher, because there are teachers who have impacted my lives. Over the years, I saw the Lord many times, and after a few attempts, I am thankful that I finally enter into teaching. However, I know in my heart that this dream can be an idol. Therefore, the Lord, in other words, if God calls me to do something else, I might have a problem giving in to God. That is why I intentionally put a whistle with the keys I use for my school. It looks something like this. Don't think you can see. How about this? Oh, it doesn't work. Because it's not meant for me to use. So my children once asked me, "Daddy, Daddy, do you use this whistle?" My answer is no. For this whistle is meant for God to use. It's a reminder for me that once God blew the whistle, He used it to call me out. I must surrender and obey. Similarly, if God doesn't use it, He wants me to stay, I must follow. Church, if God cannot say no or wait to us, that thing, no matter how good it looks, become an idol. Now, there's nothing wrong with serving God, teaching, or even our children, our world, our possessions, but when all this becomes first in our hearts, we start to lose sight of God. But once we surrender to God again, you will start to behold the God who loves you, who gave us His Son. Romans 8:32 tells us, "How will He not graciously then give you all things?" Trust Him, my brothers and sisters. Trust Him. So, what and who are the idols in your life? What are you afraid to lose? What are you worshipping? Is it your job? Your possession? Your children? Your hobbies? Again, I'm not asking you to give up your job, neglect your children, stop playing computer games or watch TV. I'm asking you to trust God, so that you will be prepared to say yes to God and no to your idols when God speaks to you. And if your heart has turned cold towards God, or you are hurting because you lost some of this, then that is an idol you need to surrender to God before you enter into 2018. My brothers and sisters, God loves you. Trust Him and surrender. For the past two services, at this point, the church is very quiet. Yes, because it's serious matters when it comes to this. It has to do with blocking our destiny to become like Jesus. So don't take this lightly. But it's not easy, Elder Kogwan. You are right. That's why we need God's help. That's why we need God's strength. That brings us to the last point for the day, that we need to strengthen our walk with God as we behold Him. We are not just called to study the Word, to tutor our minds, surrender our ideas to God in our hearts. We are told to also put into actions what God has placed in our minds and also our hearts. In other words, we need to lift out what God has said to us with the strength that God gave us. With that, can I get you to read for the last time Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 to 31 at a count of three. 1, 2, 3. Isaiah chapter 40 ends with two questions. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Do you not know? An elderly woman walked into the church, and the friendly usher greeted her at the door and asked her this, "Where do you want to sit, ma'am?" And the lady said, "The first row." The usher then said, "Are you sure? Actually, the speaker today is quite boring." Then the woman looked at the man and said, "Do you know who I am? I'm the speaker's mother." Oh no. Then the man say, "Oh, then do you know who I am?" Oh, the woman say, "No." Great. Within a second, he disappeared. Do you know who I am? God is asking us today, do you know who I am, my children? Do you know who your God is, church? Our God is the everlasting God. He's the one who creates heavens and earth. He's the all-powerful God. And He's the all-knowing God. And His name is Jesus. This is our God. He does not faint. He does not grow weary. Not only so, He promised that those who wait upon the Lord will receive the strength from Him to walk with Him. Isaiah then gives us the last comparison here between the young and those who wait upon the Lord. That does not mean that the young cannot wait. Rather, it means someone who is always depending on his own strength, even though he's young and strong, he cannot compare with the one who has learned to wait upon the Lord for his strength. Now, wait does not mean we sit there at one corner passively and do nothing. It gives us an idea of someone who keep looking to the Lord, keep looking to the Lord, keep looking to the Lord, while holding fast to what God has promised. And upon receiving this strength, he then put into practice what he knows. The word renew here has a notion of taking off our old clothing and putting on our new ones. Church, the reason sometimes we grow faint and weary could be because we have been serving the Lord with our own strength. Don't wait upon the Lord. Don't ever lose sight of God. Don't ever forget who you are serving. Even I was standing there before I come up, I need to remind myself, I'm serving my Lord. My Lord. And when we learn to do so, we will fly higher, run faster, and even walk longer. But that does not mean that we must always do more. In fact, recently I shared with some of the leaders that in order to build depth in our lives, we must learn to wait upon the Lord. How? Listen. Because there is a time to slow down. There's a time to speed up. There's a time to step back. There's a time to step up. There's a time to search deep. There's a time to stretch wide. Listen. Discern. And learn. Then obey. We will then soar on wings like eagles, run with horses, and walk with the spiritual giants. Verse 31 continues to tell us that we must learn to live in the spiritual realm, the unseen world, with the Word of God as our compass. We will then soar above our circumstances. And we surrender our ideas to God. There is nothing else can hold us back in running this race that God has marked out for us. We no longer need to compare with others because the destiny is the same. Jesus. But the path, the route is are different. So there's no need to compare. It's you and the Lord and the path towards Him. Serve Him. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Behold Him. And then you will be able to learn to walk by faith, not by sight. Your eyes are on Jesus. Daily, with the strength given to you to serve Him and Him alone. With that, let me close with a story. About a few weeks ago, the leaders in the tribe of Lion Judah went for a retreat in Malaysia. That very week, during my quiet time, I was studying Isaiah chapter 41, focusing on verse 10. It reads, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." At first, I'm not too sure how I could apply this, because I was not afraid. I was having my school holidays. That was Monday. On Wednesday, just one day before the leaders' retreat, I received a text from my wife's auntie who just came back from the town where the leaders would be staying for the retreat. And the text read something like this. 居民遭遇史上最长时间大停电. Not too bad. What does it mean? Blackout. The whole town had the electricity blackout for the longest time in the history of this town. Even the shopping mall was closed because of the blackout. And we are going there for a retreat. At first, I was still calm, cool, and composed. I even texted the leaders to pray. It was then I received more pictures and news of the blackout. Take a look. Wow, that's serious. I was told then that the town was already down for 2 days. fear slip into my heart. It was then I asked God, God, where am I leading your people to? Am I supposed to lead them into total darkness? It was then I went to wash my face and I saw a face cream that my helper was using, and there was these two words, follow me. Until now, I'm still trying to figure out, what does a washing cream have to do with follow me? Of course, I'm not asking you to do that or buy more, but these two words reminds me of Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10. So fear not, my son. I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, my son. I'm your God. I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. With that, something happened in my heart. There's this peace I cannot explain that enveloped my heart. My faith was strengthened. I started to pray and trust God for it. That night, I slept like a baby. All ready to go for the retreat. The next morning, I was told that the hotel was not affected. Great. In fact, we have a good lunch even before the shopping mall was open, or even the shops. Take a look. I don't think you can see the food on the table. It looks something like this. Oh. We need to feed the lions. Alright, all of you look hungry. Better change the picture. Okay. Now the best part was the shopping mall was only open on the last day of the retreat. I could see there was great rejoicing. And we managed to do our last bit of shopping before we headed back to Singapore. And the conclusion is this, there's no need for a shopping mall for a retreat. Another interesting thing happened was that when the leaders was praying for me at the last part of the closing prayer, the hotel had another blackout. So we ended praying in the dark. You see, it was time to go back. Of course, it's not our fault that the lights went off. And it would be too naive or proud to think that it's all about us. It is not. Because it's all about Jesus and His people. As I behold my God, study the scriptures, surrender my idols to God. In this case, my insecurity that leads to fear, my faith was strengthened by God. With that, I saw the word of God comes alive for us that reads, so fear not, my children. I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not weary. They will walk and not faint. It has been an exciting year walking with Jesus. My question for you is, how is your walk with Jesus this year? Or are you still walking with Him? No condemnation. Are you still running the race that God has marked out for you? Are you still soaring on wings like eagle with your mighty God? Are you still waiting upon the Lord, trusting that God is with you? God is here to help you. God wants to strengthen you and God wants to uphold you with His righteous right hand. Fear not, my children, as you enter into 2018. Your God is already there. Behold your God. Behold your God. So let me encourage you. Study the Word of God to know Him more. Surrender your idols to God as He reveals them to you. And strengthen your walk with God in 2018 as you learn to behold your God. Take some time to ponder about what has been shared with you this morning. What is God saying to you? Quieten your hearts and listen. Is it to commit to study the Word of God? Is there an idol in your heart? What are you going to do about your walk with God in 2018? 2017 is ending. We're starting 2018. As I reflect upon this, I have one last request. I'm not too sure about you. If you have one request that you can ask God before you end 2017, what would that be? My request is simple. God, I want to change. I want to change to be more like you. Time is running out. And the change is not about us. It's about Jesus, the King, His kingdom, and His people. Especially those who are lost. We need to change to be more like Jesus. Time is running out. At the end of the retreat, Elder Edric asked me this question. Do you think that Jesus is coming back again soon? I told my dear brother, I think so. You see, I think it will be a great joy to see Jesus face to face. Yet I wish sometimes that He will not come back so soon. Why? I then share with Elder Edric that because there are so many people I know that have yet to come to know Jesus. My in-laws, my helper, my colleagues, my friends, and some of you here. I just text my colleague this morning asking, are you coming? Are you coming? Not to come and see me preach, but I hope today is the day of salvation for him. So Jesus, please, don't come back so soon. Let us do one more Christmas for you, for the lost. One more Good Friday. One more good message. So that none shall perish. These three words matters to God. Does it matter to you? None shall perish. So that all might behold our wonderful God. Are we preparing the way of the Lord's second coming? Or are we still so stuck in our daily routine or even our own desires? Yesterday I invited 27 ex-students to my place for a gathering. It was not easy. 27 youths running all over the place. But I just want to catch up with them. I miss them. But not only so, I really hope to continue to engage them. Hopefully, the best lesson I can teach them is about Jesus. They know I'm a Christian. Whether is it through my lesson or when they come to my place, Christian verses everywhere or even the Wi-Fi password. Are we not busy enough? Of course, I'm so busy this season. I'm starting school 2 days' time and we're moving from the old campus to a new holding school. There are a lot of things to clean up and just tidy up and prepare for the children to come. I just finished 5 presentations this week. My wife was just telling me that you've been talking and talking even when you're sleeping. I'm in charge of the first 3 days of orientation for the school. And I have a message to prepare this weekend. And I invite 27 children to come to my place. Why? Did I hear God wrongly to do all these things? Now, please understand, I'm not complaining or boasting. I'm not. But I sincerely come before God as I behold Him and seek to understand His heart. I learn to follow as He leads. And He showed me this. He showed me His heart. That none shall perish, but all might behold our God. He will take something from you. This week, I even had to tell my 2 children. I brought them to me and I say this to them. Give daddy some time. Give daddy some time. This season, let's do something for Jesus. Let's do something for Jesus. What about you? Is there something you would like to do for Jesus after He has done so much for you, so that none shall perish, so that all might behold our wonderful God. Let's pray. Even as you close your eyes, bow your head, take this time to just ponder upon what God has impressed upon your heart this morning. You see, when the Word of God is preached, God desires for us to respond to Him. And today we want to pray for three groups of people. The first group are those who are not Christian. In other words, you have not come to know Jesus. My friend, God loves you. He has done a cross for you. And if today you say, I believe, and you want Jesus to come into your life to be your Lord and Savior, to turn away from your sin and turn to Him, He will forgive you and He will come in to help you. If that is you, you're not a Christian, and today you say, I want to be a Christian. Before the end of 2017, I encourage you to take the step to say, yes, I believe. If that is you, we would like to pray for you. Can we just get you to raise your hand and respond to God? In other words, you're not a Christian, and today you say, yes, I want to believe in Jesus. Anyone? I may not see your hands, but just repeat after me if you are the one that God is talking to. Dear God, thank you for loving me. Forgive my sin. Help me to turn to you. Come into my life to be my Lord and Savior. And change me to be the person you want me to be. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. If you have prayed a prayer, I encourage you to come forward later. You know, we will be here for you. The second group are those who are facing challenges or uncertainty as you enter 2018. It's not been easy for you this year. You want to walk with God, but you are discouraged. There are times you even feel like giving up. God loves you, my brother and sisters. And God is asking you to wait upon Him. And He promised He will give you strength to walk with Him. To walk by faith, not by sight. And if today you say, God, give me the strength to walk with you. Give me the strength that I need to do what is right before your eyes. I want to study your word. I want to follow you. Help me. If that is you, we would like to pray for you. Can we just get you to raise your hand and respond to God? Yes, God sees your hand, sister. You're not responding to a man. God sees your hand. If you say, God, I want to wait upon you, grant me the strength to serve you. Yes, God sees your hand, brother. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters who raised their hand. And the Lord, as they come humbly before you, we pray, the Lord, that you will strengthen them. Holy Spirit, just fill them with your love right now. Envelop them with your peace. Help them to see, the Lord, that you love them. And whatever challenges that they face, we pray in the name of Jesus, that Father, you will just come in to help them. Open doors that no one can close. Close doors that no one can open. So that truly, as they follow you, they will find you faithful. Bless them. Bless them in 2018. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The last group are those whose hearts goes out for your loved ones, your friends, or your colleagues who have not come to know Jesus. I just want you to take this time to just name each one of them before God. On your own, just name them before God. Whether it's your mom, your dad, your grandparents, or whether it's your colleagues, your friends, or your children. Just utter the names before God. God is listening. God is listening. Not just one. If there are a few, just name them before God right now. Just name them before God. Trust God for their salvation in 2018 or in the days to come. Just name them before God. Father, we pray for my brothers and sisters. You hear the names. They are all precious to you. Your desire is none shall perish and all might behold you. So we pray for courage and divine appointments for all my brothers and sisters, that in 2018 it will be a great harvest, because this name is a mark for salvation We pray by faith that, Lord, as we share the gospel and testimony with them, that, Lord, they will say yes to you. So we just commit all these loved ones into your mighty hand, and their salvation will come into their life for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, can I get you to rise as we sing the closing song? Now, this is the last Sunday of 2017. If you want to take this time to just build an altar to the Lord, I encourage you to come to your left. Just come to your left and just build an altar to God. It may be an altar of thanksgiving or an altar of request. Just come and build an altar to the Lord on your own. Or perhaps someone that you just named, you want to intercede for them. I encourage you to just come and build an altar for them to the Lord. For those who need prayer, before you enter to 2018, there are challenges, uncertainty, and then you need someone to just pray with you and come alongside you, then you're not alone. I encourage you to come to your right, and then someone will pray for you as we sing the closing song. Let's worship the Lord, shall we?
You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary.
Come and be an altar to the Lord.
You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on a wing like eagles. You are the everlasting God. The
some of us here, there are unfinished business with God. There's something that is hanging there. You know it in your hearts. And God is pointing His finger on that one thing. I'm not sure what is it. But if you need someone to just journey with you and pray for you, I encourage you to come. This is the last Sunday of 2017. It's special. You're not coming up because, you know, we need numbers here. Nobody is counting. It's between you and the Lord. You and the Lord. So build an altar to the Lord last Sunday and come and say, God, this is my life. I come to the everlasting God. For Jesus, if the Lord has spoken to you, encourage you to just build an altar to the Lord for Jesus. Let's worship Him again.
You are my strength, a strength like no other, strength like no other, reaches to me. You are my strength.
God and Heavenly Father, in a few moments, in a few hours, an old year will pass and a new year will come. Father Lord, the people will come, people will go, situations will change. But we thank you, O Father, that in you we have an unchanging God, the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. A faithful God whose faithfulness never comes to an end. And that, Lord, in you, we have a strength, a perfect strength, a strength that is without compare. In you, O Father, we have a hope, a perfect hope, a hope that is sure, because you are a promise-keeping God. Thank you, dear Father, in love, in you we have love, an unsurpassed love, a deep and limitless love, and yet a love that is freely given to us. And we thank you, dear Father, because as we know, as we leave 2007 to go into 2017 to go into 2018, Lord, we have a God who will walk with us, a God who is always ours, and to whom, Lord, we are deeply loved, fully forgiven, and Father, elevated to the status of your sons and of your daughters. And so we give you thanks. We give you praise. Ask, O Lord, that your strength will be our strength, renewing our strength, increasing our strength. Teach us, O Lord, to wait upon you, that we might rise up with eagles, thanking you and praising you always. In Jesus' most precious name. May all God's people say, Amen. Church service is over. Let's give our God a praise offering for all that He has done for us 2017. We see you tonight, watch night service and CBTL. God bless you all.